Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming out tonight. My name is Tim Toller. I'm the canon for music here at St. John's. And before I get started, I just wanted to say a few words about the program tonight. As you can see, there is not a wide diversity of composers represented, but the composer that is represented does have a greatly diverse selection of music that I'm going to play some for you tonight. Now, first of all, Hawaiian All-Bach Recital, it's not really the Bach Centennial this year or anything like that. It's not Bach Birthday or anything like that. But I, for a long time, wanted to do something like this because there's so much wonderful Bach music out there that really isn't suited to Sunday morning services. Major pieces that are just too big to really play in a church service capacity. And so I wanted to kind of get a few of my favorites and put them together on a program that I think made sense and was enjoyable. The first piece that I'm going to play, the Prelude and Fugue in G major, dates from around about 1715, somewhere in there, while Bach was at Weimar. And it appears to be one of Bach's personal favorites amongst his own organ compositions. And the reason I say this is because he went back to it several times throughout the course of his life and continued to revise and refine it. In fact, in 1733, his eldest son, Wilhelm Friedemann, played this very piece for his audition for the organist job at St. Sophia's in Dresden. He ended up getting the job. So, it's a wonderful, exuberant, joyful piece. It just exudes joy from first bar to the end. Thank you. I truly think that if you ever are in a bad mood, if you put that on and listen to it, there's no conceivable way you could be in a bad mood by the time you get to the end of it. The second piece I'm going to play, another Prelude and Fugue, could not be more different than the first. For starters, it's a later piece. This was written around about 1728, and it's representative of Bach at his fullest maturity. Its architecture is massive. It's twice as long as the piece I just played for you. And Bach's writing by this time, even in organ music, takes on almost a lyrical, almost a vocal quality to the lines. It takes its time, it breathes. It's just a major architecture of sound. I always get the impression of some grand cathedral edifice with this. It's just an incredible structure. The fugue is interesting. It's sometimes called the wedge. It's nicknamed the wedge. And the reason for that is the fugue subject, as you'll hear when I get to it, starts out on a single note, and gradually the notes get wider apart. So on paper, it kind of looks a little bit like the shape of a wedge. That's where it gets its name from. It's about 14 minutes long.
Thank you.
switching gears really tremendously now, I'm going to play a trio sonata, trio sonata number 5, of which there are 6 total trio sonatas. And these pieces, they consist of a mixture of previously composed music that was has been arranged and music that was newly composed just for the set. It seems that Bach wrote these pieces in part to train his son, Wilhelm Friedemann, who I mentioned earlier with the G major prelude and fugue, in organ technique. And they're the bane of every undergraduate organ major that's ever been. And they're deceptively difficult. You only will hear me playing 3 notes at any one time, 1 in each hand and 1 in the pedal. But it sounds like there's a lot more notes going on than that. My teacher, J. William Green, always described these as chamber music for the organ. And I think that's exactly appropriate. You're going to see I've chosen registration that's feather light compared to what you just heard with the big full organ sound in the major works. And the pieces musically are just crystalline perfection. There's no other way to put it than that. There's not a note that could be changed in any of them. They're some of Bach's most perfect pieces. They really are in any genre. So this has 3 movements, and particularly in the largo, just close your eyes and just let the lines just carry you away. It's incredible. The second movement of these trio sonatas is, I think, their greatest musical asset, and especially this particular one. Okay, this is the 5th trio sonata. any organist that's wrestled with those pieces can understand very clearly and easily how Wilhelm Friedemann, Bach's son, for whom these were written, died an alcoholic. They were actually probably practiced on a pedal clavichord, which is not an instrument I've ever seen. Not a pedal harpsichord, but a pedal clavichord. And I can't even begin to imagine what it must have been like to have to play those things on that type of an instrument. All right, next up, the Choral Prelude seems a little out of place on this program. It's out of the Orgel Buchlein, which is a collection of very short chorale preludes that follow the liturgical year. It was one of the few pieces that was actually published in Bach's lifetime, of his organ music that was published in his own lifetime. And this particular piece, I've played it many times during church services, usually during Lent. The rather somber title translates basically to, "O man, bewail your grievous sin." And why am I sticking it on here? Well, it's a really, I think it's one of the very best examples of just beautiful lyric melody that that exists in the entire organ repertoire. These pieces, like I say, they're very short, usually only one or two pages. And this piece is especially beautiful. It's a real jewel from that collection. It's an ornamented chorale, and so what that basically means is the actual hymn tune, and it's not a tune most of us would be familiar with nowadays, is deeply embedded and highly ornamented upon. So there's going to be trills and ornamentations and elaborations of all types that kind of embellish the melody. It's about 4.5 minutes long. And after that, I'll talk about the final piece. brings us to the final piece on the program tonight. And this, the Passacaglia in C minor, is, I would have to say, probably without a doubt, my favorite Bach organ piece. Probably my favorite organ piece of all time. It's an interesting piece. Ironically, it's probably the earliest composition on this program in terms of when it was written in Bach's lifetime. We're not exactly sure when exactly it was written, but it was probably composed somewhere around 1710, maybe a little earlier, maybe a few years before that. And it may have been the result of Bach studying with Buxtehude and studying the ostinato works of Buxtehude. What a Passacaglia is, for those of you who aren't familiar with the term, what it is there's a melody that repeats. In this case, it starts out in the pedals, and you'll hear it at the very beginning. It's an 8-bar melody that plays itself by itself, and then it repeats while Bach builds a series of variations, ever more elaborate variations, over the top of it. Now, how a Passacaglia is different from a similar composition like a ground bass or something like that is, in a Passacaglia, the tune can leave the voice that it starts in and migrate through the different voices. So as I go through this, you'll see it starts out in the pedals and it stays there a long time. However, at certain points, it's going to migrate up into the manuals and do different things. It's always there, but sometimes it becomes a little obscure given the textures that Bach gives to it. This piece is remarkable in many ways. I've read different things about it, lots of grandiose things. People have done computer studies on it and found elaborate mathematical series embedded within it. I've heard it referred to as a metaphor for the very creation of the universe itself. I've heard things like it's the sound of the internal harmonies of divine thought echoing amongst themselves, all this kind of. All that grandiose purple prose aside, it remains a wonderful, wonderful composition. I never get tired of playing it or listening to it. The actual tune that it's based on came from a Frenchman, André Raison, who had composed a piece using this tune slightly different. Bach took the tune and slightly modified it for this. But it's an 8-bar tune. You'll hear it at the beginning, goes through a series of variations, and then it concludes with one of Bach's most elaborate and thrilling fugues that he ever wrote. And forgive me, I forgot to mention there's a reception next door immediately following in Ingram Lounge. So please do come back and say hi. I'll send you over with a, here's a little bit of junk food, Bach. This is Virgil Fox's arrangement of the Now Think We All Are God from Cantata number 79.